So why don't we finish out talking about your 62-year-old man, Randy, just briefly present him.
Yeah, this patient is a 62-year-old gentleman who is in some ways the opposite of the patient that you had. And that's, I think it's actually very useful for what you were talking about, is that you had the patient who did really well and had wonderful family. And you had the patient who was young, and we are actually seeing more and more young people, and this is a left-sided tumor, and especially in a place like UCLA where people get referred in, particularly young people are willing to travel, is that there's this increase in left-sided disease and distal disease in young people with colorectal cancer. It's the only group that's not going down. We're seeing more and more people in their 20s even and their 30s who do not have Lynch syndrome, who do not have familial polyposis, and they almost all are rectosigmoid cancers. And there's a lot of work being done now to try to understand whether this is environmental or whether there are other genetic things that we don't understand. My patient is really different than that, in that extremely difficult, not because the person was a bad person or a difficult person, but really total lack of psychosocial support. And so both your patients, either by family or by friends, had psychosocial support. So the patient that I'm presenting is actually, because there are some things that are not exactly right. So this is a gentleman who had presented with rectal cancer and really living at the edge of society. Nice guy, was employed generally like in construction. Los Angeles is not the cheapest place in the world to live, and lived with a roommate or roommates really for financial reasons. Had what would be Medicaid here, Medi-Cal in Los Angeles. When he was completely disabled, was also able to get Medicare. But the key thing was is that he also had a problem with substance abuse and was an alcoholic. And so, and one of these sort of quasi-functional alcoholics who worked and was still drinking pretty heavily, and we had long discussions about this. The thing that really also was always clear is that he had no one. And no one ever came to an appointment, you know. And so I'm listening to the patients you just described. This is really, no one ever came to an appointment. When he was sicker later on, I was asking if someone can check on him. His roommates are like, they're just people who like we're sharing a place with. There's no one really to do that. And we tried to bring in as many resources as possible. Unfortunately, he had really local disease. He also had local rectal cancer, presented with metastatic disease, was seen at the county hospital, one of the county hospitals, Harbor, where he had reasonable care initially, but had surgery with a colostomy, and there are problems with colostomy, people who have no support in order to get the bags, in order to get the teaching and things like that. And imagine, you know, you're in a shared, you know, living space with a colostomy, which is difficult. Eventually had a local recurrence and was treated, we actually truly with brachytherapy, with seeds someplace else where they tried to shrink this down, relatively indolent disease, but had severe pain because of the, you know, involving the sacral plexus. Was treated with multiple lines of chemotherapy with 5-FU and oxaliplatin initially, plus bevacizumab. He was RAS wild type, had irinotecan. I don't think that 5-FU adds an awful lot. In the second line, someone who's already failed, but even though it's in the guidelines, with bevacizumab, did relatively well on these. The biggest problem, of course, was psychosocial. He was drinking heavily. You know, he would come in, also living on the edges of society when his truck broke down. That became extremely difficult in bringing it in and getting the money for him, making certain that he could get the engine fixed on his truck.
What was his state of mind?
You know, it was really difficult to tell. Nice guy, always very pleasant, very nice to the staff. Sometimes he would come in drunk. And
was he depressed?
It was really hard to tell. Now, one thing that you have a psychologist that you have available, we also have support. I think that really for the people out in the community, that this is something that's really, really critical, is to be able to have that. We're fortunate at UCLA that we have free, because it's nonprofit, they raise their own money, that we have therapists, psychologists, social workers who come in and work, and I actually brought them in to work. But he was difficult because he was just, you know, maybe not depressed, but just not, and perhaps not the sharpest tool in the shed, and nice guy, but it was difficult. He never really sort of would reach out. And so I took care of him for a long time, and I enjoyed seeing him because he was such a nice guy, but you felt sorry that you could not change. And there's oncologists in the community that have even more problems than we do, is that the medical problems are only part of what we deal with. And like this person without insurance, this person, there was nothing I could do to help his living situation. You know, we tried to get him hooked up with other services when his truck broke down, trying to make certain he could get transportation. And then towards the end, the biggest problem was, you know, people die in different ways. Your person had liver failure and liver dominant. This is speaking to biology, which we just can't understand the words that the biology is saying to us. This person really, his problem was local therapy, local problems that did not really respond necessarily to local therapy with radiation, with brachytherapy, and severe pain, which is not a great way to die. So he was involved with the palliative care people. We have a very strong palliative care, both inpatient and outpatient. But once again, it's just difficult when people have a hard time getting in to see these. You may have the world's best services, but if patients have a hard time or just don't feel like coming in to see them, it's very difficult. And so this sort of what you were asking at the end, while on one hand, I think that we helped him because he did get benefit during the time, there was a lot of sadness, not just about his cancer, but about the society, you know, almost that we live in, that we could not do more for this person. We all have patients who, you know, there are too many family members to fit in the room. That's wonderful. But there are large numbers of patients who are marginalized and atomized, you know, in our society. And I think he's actually a great example of a person who I hope he was happy during some of the times, even before he had cancer. And he seemed to be reasonably happy with it, but he also had very little insight. And you were asking about that before. Your patient had really good insight. And even though we're always honest with patients that, you know, this is bad, you're not going to be cured from this, you can't necessarily help on the other side where patients, and they've shown in studies, what you say is not necessarily what patients hear. And
frequently.
And then when you have problems with people who have insight, who are not all professionals or nurses or computer, you know, programmers, that it becomes difficult to take care of them. So there was a lot of frustration, not at him, but almost at the system.
This concludes the CD on colorectal cancer. For a discussion of non-small cell lung cancer and ovarian cancer, please turn to the other two CDs on this program. Special thanks to Drs. Heck, Deutsch, and Chen, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special program utilizing the Morbidity and Mortality Conference model to explore and improve community-based oncology care.